First question is it possible that we will have to pay septic charges and sewer charges at the same time? And I believe the answer to that question is yes, because you are already paying for your sewer system through a property tax assessment, I believe.
Actually, I can expand on that a little bit. There was a property tax assessment that the district used for development of the Tri-W project, and any questions about those assessments should be directed to the district. We don't really have very much information about that, but in addition, the district has the ability to charge certain fees, and the community has the ability to vote to tax itself. So that's not something that the Water Board controls.
This question, I think, was asked in several different forms by several different people, but it's basically about the inherent inequity perceived in the process of issuing 50 cease and desist orders when everyone within the prohibition area is discharging waste, so the perceived inequity for the first 50, and how can that be addressed? And really, I think those are as much practical issues as anything else. The cease and desist order process, as you've just heard, includes public hearings, and there's a practical issue of how many people we can have public hearings for at a given time. So they need to be phased in, and the process of making a random selection we felt was as fair as anything else we could come up with on how to address the large number of orders that will need to have hearings.
Did you read the question?
I read the question, and I paraphrase because it's actually repeated on several different cards, and we do have a lot of questions, so we're trying to cover the issues as completely as possible.
I have a similar question, actually two similar questions. In the interest of fairness, will the Water Board consider doing away with individual CDOs in favor of a broader cleanup and abatement order that would financially impact all 4,800 properties equally? That is something that's under consideration, not one cleanup and abatement order naming everybody, but there would be individual cleanup and abatement orders that may be issued at the same time in order to speed up the process. I'm not in favor of doing one order with everyone in it because some people will challenge it and some people won't. Some people will be in compliance, some people will be out of compliance, and it's not really necessary to combine all those issues and have 4,800 interested parties when one person is out of compliance. So we would do them individually if that's the route we go, and people will have the opportunity to request some sort of a hearing if we choose that option. And then I have a somewhat related question. Has this staff undertaken issuance of cease and desist orders before? If so, what was the number at one time? This board has issued cease and desist orders in the past. We don't have an analogous situation where there's a whole community that was in violation of an order or a prohibition. So, we've never done 4,800 at once. There was one point where 4 cease and desist orders were issued to the county and then to the CSD at the same time. We have some individual properties that have cease and desist orders that were done a few at a time. Those are the only cease and desist orders that I can think of. Generally, they're issued one at a time.
The next question I have is, the board, local and state, has collective experience and knowledge on alternative systems other than pumping. How can we access that information, and how will the regional board help? There's a number of ways you can access that information. There is an organization called CAWA, California On-Site Wastewater Association. They have a website, cawa.org, and if you go to that website, it has links to all types of alternative systems. Yeah, C-O-W-A. EPA, also on the website, epa.gov, has a septic location, septic site where you can go and pull all kinds of information regarding on-site wastewater disposal, alternative systems. In addition to that, my name is Howard Kolb. I work here at the Regional Board. You can call me directly and ask for some information. I do have reports available. I'd prefer not to get 50 phone calls, so if there's a general interest, we can provide information to the CSD, and that could be available to the public. And then the State Board, on the State Board webpage, there's also a information under the AB 885 rules and regs where they talk about alternative systems and potential regs that are coming down the pike.
And if I just want to add that just because you received this information from the Water Board or it's on the EPA website, that doesn't necessarily mean the systems in question are appropriate for Los Osos, because they're generally designed for larger lots and with more separation to groundwater. So just because you receive general information about certain types of systems doesn't mean that it would be approved. We're not going to prejudge anything until we get requests, but don't assume that just because we have information it's acceptable.
This question says, what action has the Water Board taken with the new LOCSD board to solve the short-term solution and prevent individual CDOs? We have met staff. We have met with the CSD staff and directors since the new board took office, and we are in the process of working with them. We plan to hold their feet to the fire, so to speak, in the same way that we expected the previous board to make progress on a long-term community-wide solution to the wastewater problem. So we are talking with them, we are working with them, and we expect them to make progress as quickly as possible.
Okay, next question says, I understand that frequent pumping causes septic tank failure. An engineer I know told me this. Will pumping every 2 months cause a problem to my septic system? And my answer to that is no. The primary function of septic tanks is to remove floating and settleable solids from wastewater prior to it flowing into the disposal field. Although the solids are decomposed within the septic tank, there is always a net accumulation of sludge in the tank, which decreases the tank's capacity and function. Frequent pumping maximizes its volume and improves its function and will significantly reduce the volume of wastewater discharged to Los Osos groundwater. The secondary function of septic tanks is to break down the solids through anaerobic decomposition. Some may argue that frequent pumping will disrupt this decomposition process. However, the rate of decomposition is very slow compared to the required frequency of pumping. And frequent pumping will not completely eliminate the microbiology that contributes to anaerobic decomposition. So this is really a moot point.
Okay, my next question is, it states that the regional board put cease and desist orders on schools and major entities in May of 1999, then rescinded them, which actually is incorrect. So the question is why, and the regional board didn't rescind those orders. So that's a little bit of a moot point. Then why individuals in 2005? And I think that was pretty well covered in Matt's presentation. What we're looking for is some reduction in the amount of pollution going into the basin there. CEQA states what the regional board can and can't do and the water code legally binds the CSD to comply with orders issued by the regional board. And then there's a variety of code sections here, civil and criminal penalties. And the final question is this your only option to get compliance with your orders? And the regional board actually has quite a variety of tools and actions that it can take. But in this particular case, what we're looking for is an action that will result in water quality improvement, water quality protection. So that's why we're proposing the cease and desist orders, including the pumping of the tanks.
I wanted to mention, before I forget, that I did make copies of the two announcements I read earlier, the clarification of the hearing notice and the approval of the CSD request for designated party status. I put them on the table in the back. They're collated, but I forgot to tell the copier to staple them, so there's every other page, so take two. One has letterhead and one's an email. Someone asked at the break what to do if they don't have web access, if any designated parties don't have web access and can't check the website for updates. We will provide written notification if we receive a written request, so send us a letter saying that you don't have email access and you want paper copies of documents. I assume the local library also has public web access, but which you may want to take advantage of, but we won't require you to do that. And then there was one other question at the break, whether people who have received draft cease and desist orders have to request designated party status. You don't have to. The hearing notice already makes you a designated party, so you don't have to submit anything else to get designated party status. And then this question, and I'm just going to read it verbatim, when the LOCSD is dissolved, will the board reconsider punitive action against the citizens? I don't know if the CSD will be dissolved or not, so I'm not going to address that. The actions that we're taking are not punitive. They're intended to achieve compliance with the basin plan and to improve water quality. If we wanted to take a punitive action, we could have proceeded directly to fines. And as to whether the board will reconsider the actions, it depends whether there's some other alternative for achieving compliance with the basin plan prohibition.
The next question is, how long to get approval for an alternative system to pumping? The answer is it depends on what you submit. Each request that comes in will have to be reviewed by staff. We'll have to discuss it with our managers and present it to the board as an exemption to the prohibition. And I'm not sure exactly how long that will take, but it could take on the order of months.
This question reads, can the regional board develop means to provide an option that would lend economic support to the LOCSD for planning, design, and construction of the sewer project that must be constructed by 2010? I'm not sure. I would be in favor of the CSD finding whatever funding it can, and if there are options that we could help with, I'd be willing to do that. You have anything to add, Lori? That's something that I'm hoping the CSD is exploring as much as it can, you know, the funding options, and we're willing to help in whatever way we can.
Okay. Question is, can we get copies of the map showing the contamination zones? I presume that was the slide I showed with the red blobs. Yes, and I see here that you've provided your name, and I believe I have your email address, and I will send you a copy of that. I also received a similar request for a hard copy by mail from another designated party. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting to that. And so, sir, I see that you've provided your mailing address, and I will send that to you. And for those of you, for the others of you that might also be interested in that chart, I intend to post my entire presentation on our website tomorrow. Oh, and also there is a second part to this question, if you'll allow me to. It says that cease and desist order section A1 says 60 days, but section A3 says 30 days. And you've correctly pointed out an inconsistency, and that will be corrected. And so I'll tell you how it will read. Section A3 says, cease and desist order section A3, it says, this paragraph 3 applies if a community treatment plan and sewer system will be available to the discharger no later than January 1st, 2010. The discharger shall submit the following information no later than the earlier of June 30th, 2009, or 180 days before the expected completion date, either, and here's where the correction is, a statement that the discharger agrees to connect to the community sewage treatment plant within 60 days, not 30 days, after the sewage treatment plant becomes available. That will be corrected.
One quick question is, in your presentation, can we update that well with the 52 to get the crop to retest on it?
Well, I don't think that we need to update the presentation because that was the presentation he gave, but if there's updated information, we could make it available to the public.
Right, and to expand, I mean, that contour map was taken from a report that your community services district submitted to us. If you do have more updated information, it is available in our file record. I wasn't aware of it. I haven't seen it. And so, and I also want to take this opportunity to say that all of these documents, including the contour map that Cleith and Associates put together for the Community Services District, is available in our file record. You can review it any time during the week. And I presume also that the CSD has a copy available.
Each of us built or bought our homes in good faith, homes whose plans have been approved by the county. Why did the county allow this to happen? Is there no informational exchange between this board and county planning? And are we not all victims of the failure of government agencies? Why is the state punishing the people for a failure of its own representatives? And is this not double jeopardy for citizens whose crimes seem to be believing that the system would protect them? There's a lot of questions there. As most of you are aware, if you've lived in Los Osos for a considerable amount of time, the CSD is certainly not the first agency to take on this monumental endeavor. Before the CSD was formed, the county was working towards building a sewer in Los Osos and had been working on that effort for many years. If you purchased a home or built a home without knowing that, in recent history, I'm not sure whether that's a disclosure issue or anything else, it's certainly been a well-publicized issue through local media. And if the bottom line question here is, can government protect us? Which maybe I'm reading this wrong, but I think that's the underlying question. As the title of this agency implies, our mission is to protect water quality for everyone. It's not just an individual. It's for everyone, current and future generations, and that's certainly what we're trying to do. So that is what this effort's about.
I am confused by all the references to testifying and cross-examining at this upcoming hearing. How do we do that? Whom do we cross-examine? Well, first tell you how the hearing will probably go, because this is the way most of our hearings go. The staff will make a presentation, which will be kind of like the presentation that Matt made today, although probably longer. The designated parties will all have an opportunity to get up and make presentations to the board. And there will be an opportunity for cross-examination so that the staff can ask questions of designated parties who testify, and designated parties can ask questions of staff. Cross-examination isn't limited, like it is in court, to what the party said in their presentation. So if staff doesn't talk about something that you think is relevant, you can still cross-examine staff on that issue. There will be an oath given, so everyone who testifies or who provides comments during the public comment period, part of the hearing, will be testifying under oath. You don't have to cross-examine anyone. You don't have to make a presentation if you don't want to. You can provide written evidence as long as it's provided by the due date, and just rely on your written evidence without making a presentation, or you can not provide any written evidence and rely on your presentation. I don't recommend that because the time may be limited for your presentation. There is also the right in our proceedings to issue subpoenas. So if you think that someone may not attend the hearing and you want to ask them questions, you can contact me to get a form subpoena. A subpoena has to either be issued by the chair of the board or by an attorney. So if you don't have an attorney, you can submit the request for the subpoena to the chair, and he'll determine whether or not to issue one. If an attorney issues a subpoena, the board has the ability to do what's called quashing the subpoena, basically refusing to honor the subpoena, and other parties can object to the subpoena and request that the board do that. I think that's all I have to say about cross-examination. If there's more questions, people can send them in.
I said let's go to the next.
He can wait for the card. Will have to testify this time, and if we can't read all our testimony, will we be able to turn it in?
The question was, how much time will people have to present their testimony? And if they can't finish it, if they can't finish reading their testimony, can they turn it in? I don't know the answer to that because it's up to the chair. So if you are going to write out a statement, I would suggest that you write it out and send it in by the due date for comments. Generally what happens is the chair will send out a request before the hearing asking everyone how much time they think they need, and he'll consider all those requests and make a determination on how much time people will be allowed. I'm not sure how he's going to handle that in this case because I'm not allowed to talk to him. But if you have any procedural questions or requests, then submit those to the prosecution staff and the board's advisors, and they'll be considered.
If I invest in my own system, and I assume this is referring to an alternative system, how often will it need to be sampled for nitrogen? Again, that depends on the system and what you choose to install, but typically any nitrogen-reducing system has a startup period that lasts anywhere from 6 to 8 months, where it needs to be sampled more frequently at the onset to ensure that you're getting appropriate performance. A lot of times you have to adjust the air going into the system or your flow into the system, depending on how big your parcel is. I've seen flow equalization on certain units. If it's a recirculating system, sometimes you have to adjust the recirculation rate. Once you've established that the system's performing, the nitrogen monitoring can sometimes be reduced. You still will have to evaluate the system in terms of whether the pumps and all the pieces are working. And a lot of these systems, we require that you have alarms on them should a pump or another part fail.
This question is similar to the one Sorrel read, but I'll go ahead and read it anyway. Why isn't the county being held responsible since they allowed the zoning densities that created the pollution? I think it's, I don't know if I have a better answer than the one Sorrel provided, but we were working with the county and we were holding them responsible for building a system during the time that they had that responsibility.
But the community voted to reestablish a CSD as their local representative government, so that essentially switched that responsibility from the county to
right.
the CSD.
And actually, okay, right now they hold no responsibility because they are not actually discharging any wastewater. It's the individual homeowners who are discharging wastewater, not the county. And in fact, the CSD is only discharging wastewater at its three systems that it operates.
The question was, the county allowed zone density to increase. How come they weren't held responsible for the subsequent pollution of the groundwater?
We don't have any jurisdiction over local government zoning decisions, so if there are complaints for the county, I would address them to the county.
Matt showed that great slide of the crop densities of Cascadero. Maybe that's why we wanted to do those also, but the county approved that. We bought a house that was permitted by the county. I just wonder why
And it's a valid question, sir. And I would ask that you guys please stick to this process so we can get through all these questions. Thanks.
And actually, the subdivisions were created. You know, some of them are very, very old, especially the high density ones. In fact, long before this board existed and before the county planning process had existed.
Okay. When everyone starts pumping, will there be enough trucks to handle the prohibition zone? And does Santa Maria have capacity to receive all waste? And I think the reference to Santa Maria is because the City of Santa Maria Wastewater Treatment Plant is the primary facility in this region that accepts septage. And we did contact a few septage haulers prior to issuance of the proposed cease and desist orders. And considering the time it would take to ramp up and that they could acquire additional equipment if necessary, they assured us that there is enough equipment in this county and in this region to handle the traffic. You know, they have these big 5,000-gallon tankers that they could set up, and they could use their small tankers for short runs, and they could pump out several systems per day. And the second part of the question, does Santa Maria have capacity? We talked to the folks in the wastewater division with the City of Santa Maria and told them what to expect, and they crunched the numbers themselves and independently determined that they are able and willing to accept the septage. There are other facilities that can accept the septage nearby, including Ventura and Bakersfield.
Next question is, why didn't you start with properties that are closest to the groundwater, since pumping there would have more of an effect? Our house is more than 50 feet above groundwater. Will pumping make any difference at all? And as we mentioned earlier, all of the dischargers within the prohibition area are targeted. We selected randomly 50 as a place to start. All of the dischargers are contributing to the water quality problem. Even those that have significant soil below their system and above groundwater, it's the density of the amount of waste in a small area that's causing the problem. rather than the characteristics of one individual system?
I thought we had the right to request an individual hearing. It sounds as though you have already bypassed that option by scheduling one hearing for all. We have scheduled these hearings as one consolidated hearing. People are free to request individual hearings. It's not up to the prosecution team to make that determination. We would oppose that just for the sake of efficiency and time, but it's up to the board to make that decision.
Are you aware of any of alternatives that would be more effective than your own calculations of only a 22% reduction at best? And I'm assuming when they're talking about alternatives, you're talking about alternative treatment to wastewater in terms of on-site wastewater disposal. There are alternative systems that can get better than a 22% reduction in nitrogen. They require design, proper installation, proper maintenance and operation, and depending on which system you choose, the costs can vary greatly and the level of performance can vary greatly. I do have information on that. Again, those websites on the board that I referred you to, you can find out a lot about those systems.
Okay. Says 6 times a year seems excessive. How is that arrived at? Parentheses, the science, question mark. Okay. Now, CDOs are typically used to require dischargers to completely eliminate their waste discharge. In order to do that, you would have essentially had to convert your septic tank to a holding tank and pump the thing out every 3 to 10 days. Recognizing that that is practically impossible, we had to establish a pumping frequency that would significantly reduce pollutant loading at a reasonable cost. We considered quarterly frequency of pumping, but we felt that we would not get enough pollutant loading reduction, which is how we arrived at once every 2 months. If you want to talk numbers about pollutant loading reduction, we would have preferred to make our calculations of pollutant loading reduction would have been more accurate if we had water use records. We had requested water use records from the Community Services District back in October, but they failed to provide it, and so we had to make our assumptions of pollutant loading reduction based on reasonable assumptions of wastewater generation and typical septic tank capacity, assuming most of you could serve water and that you discharge, you know, about 100 gallons per day to your septic system, and your septic tank is about 1,000 gallons or 1,200 gallons. If you do the math, you'll see that the pollutant loading reduction or the wastewater flow reduction is around 22%.
If everybody in town pumps their tanks every other month, that's the 22% reduction. It can't just be from 50 gallons,
right? Sir, I'm going to answer your question, but I ask that you please not speak out. Our calculations of pollutant loading reduction apply to both individual properties and the community collectively. If you start pumping out your tank, you're going to immediately reduce your pollutant loading by about 20-22%. When the whole community does it, the whole community will reduce their pollutant loading by the same amount.
Why in order R3-2007 did you accept 5 years to pump septic tanks outside the prohibition zone, and who was going to pay for it? I'm not familiar with that order. The numbers are very similar to the order numbers for the waste discharge requirements for the CSD, but The waste discharge requirements for the CSD require development of a on-site management plan. So I guess I'm not very clear on this question, and therefore I'm obviously not giving you a very good answer. If you want to either come up to me afterwards or give me a call for further clarification, I'm happy to discuss it further. But I'm not exactly sure what order you're referencing or what requirement you're referencing. So I apologize for that.
Considering that the Water Board expects our defense by March 1st, when will we be given the prosecution case in writing so that we can present our defense? And the prosecution has provided a box of documents that appear that some are relevant to the case and a lot that are not. The prosecution's case is in the staff report that was attached to the cease and desist orders. It was sent to the recipients and is posted on our website. We'll provide whatever rebuttal evidence we think is appropriate after seeing what the designated parties submit. We think the entire box of documents is relevant. If people disagree with that, then you're free to object based on relevance. The rules of relevance apply more loosely in an administrative hearing than in court, but if parties think that something doesn't belong in the record, you should include that in your March 1st submittal, and the chair will consider that.
Why weren't businesses included in this cease and desist order? The first 50 came up residences. We plan on including every property within the prohibition zone. It would include multi-unit properties, businesses, public buildings, whatever is in the prohibition zone.
This question is, what will happen to us if there's no sewer by...
Excuse me. What will happen to us if there is no sewer by January 1st, 2010? The cease and desist order states that, says this paragraph applies if no community treatment plant and sewer system will be available to the discharger by January 1st, 2010. By June 30th, 2009, the discharger shall submit a technical report proposing a method of complying with the requirement to cease or discharge. The proposed alternative must be adequate to cease discharges from the septic system by January 1st, 2010. And must include a proposed monitoring and reporting plan. If the alternative involves a discharge of waste that could affect waters of the state, the report shall be in the form of a report of waste discharge. And then we get into some definition of waters of the state and report of waste discharge.
How can you justify punitive action against individuals which will do nothing to achieve a solution for the community, namely a sewer system? Why are you not taking action that will get a sewer system for the community? I think we have been for many years taking all of the actions that we can think of to try and resolve the water quality problems in Los Osos. This is one in a long string of actions. Well, the question is, the first part is, why are you, or how can you justify punitive action against individuals which will do nothing to achieve a solution for the community, namely a sewer system? As we said several times earlier and during Matt's presentation, the action that we're taking is intended to reduce the water quality impacts. It's not intended as a punitive action, and obviously this action will not result in a community sewer, but it will result in some water quality protection. And the latter part, which is why are you not taking action that will get a sewer system for the community? We have and continue to take whatever actions we can think of that are within our authority as the Water Board that will result in a community sewer or permanently addressing these water quality issues. We just haven't been successful so far.
Since the United States Constitution requires that no person shall be discriminated against and that all people shall be treated equally under the law, then that means that no people living in the prohibition zone shall have to start pumping their septics before any other people living in the prohibition zone, and all people shall have to pump on an equal basis. Isn't that true? I'm not aware of authority for that, but if that is people's position, then I encourage you to submit that as part of your submission on March 1st.
This question says, what can be done to help those who can't afford the pumping? I think, well, I don't have a good answer for that one either. I don't know how much, you know, eventually there will be a sewer system. That's going to have some cost. I don't know what it'll be compared to this. Whatever solution ultimately is arrived at for Los Osos is going to be expensive. I don't think there's any way around that at this point. Because of the delays, the decades of delays, the cost keeps going up and up, and it's unavoidable at this point. It's going to be expensive, whether it's pumping or whether it's a community, or whether it's a community sewer. And like Lori said, if that's an argument you think the regional board should hear, I encourage you to make that as part of your argument at the hearing.
Next question is, have you studied the effects of the loss of 33 to 36 million gallons of water being removed from our aquifer? Well, our answer is that, you know, we're not in the water supply business. We're in the water quality business, okay? And we presume...
Matt, can you hold on a second? If you guys could keep your comments down, we could concentrate on giving an answer. You know, if you want to talk to us individually, if you want to call us, feel free to do that. But piping up back in the back is not helping out, so please keep it down.
I'm trying to answer the question. Thank you. We don't look at this as a loss of water from the basin. We know that it is. We look at it as a decrease in the pollutant loading to your groundwater basin. We presume that I don't know what your water supply situation is, but I understand you have really high groundwater in the low-lying areas of your community, and we presume that by reducing the volume of wastewater discharge there, you're going to improve that situation. I mean, some of you likely know that your community has a drain system down by the bay because your groundwater levels have risen so high. So, from that perspective, not enough water down by the bay.
How long until all homes are under cease and desist orders? And I don't have a precise time frame for that. Our goal is to get the same requirements issued to all of the dischargers within the prohibition area as quickly as possible, but I don't have a precise answer for how long that will take. And a follow-up question is, have there been any new postings? Have not received any email responses to questions? And the most recent information that addresses the issue of the cease and desist orders is on the back table. Please pick up a copy of it before you leave. There's the frequently asked questions flyers. I think we mentioned earlier that six of them that look similar on the front, they're on colored sheets, are those that you've seen in the past, and then there's a multi-sheet stapled together one that is specifically questions and answers on the cease and desist orders. So I would encourage you to pick those up. They'll also be posted on our website, and we are responding to emails as quickly as possible.
This question is from someone who is not a designated party. I, as a potential designated party, why must I accept interested party designation at this time? Citizens can request designated party status. The prosecution team plans to oppose those requests, but I don't know how the chair will rule. Anyone who gets a cease and desist order, other type of order in the future, will have an opportunity to request a hearing at that time on their specific facts. What precedent does Waterboard have for individual mass timing CDOs? I already answered that one. What precedent to renter name disclosure in similar actions? It's the policy of the water boards that when we take an enforcement action or issue permits, the permits are issued to the property owner and the property operator. And in this case, the renters are the parties that are actually using the septic tanks, and they're the parties that are discharging. The property owners are also considered dischargers under our statute, and that's why both of them are named.
Two similar questions, and I'll attempt to answer them at the same time. Read them verbatim. It says, have you studied saltwater intrusion increasing under this program? And then the second question, it says, how is the seawater intrusion rate, Q equals KIA, of the lower aquifer going to be affected by pumping Los Osos Prohibition Zone septic tanks 6 times per year. Our understanding of the seawater intrusion problem is that it is caused by pumping of your deep aquifer, and the septic tanks are contaminating your shallow aquifer. So we believe that this program will have very little impact on your seawater intrusion problem.
Now, I'll read this question, but I do want to preface it that it really is not relative to the cease and desist orders. It says, we were advised to elect a new board if we objected to the way the old board was treating the community. We did so. Why are we being punished for trying to save ourselves? And as we've said several times, we're attempting to address water quality issues, and I don't see a water quality component of that question.
Yeah. Folks, it looks like we're going to have time to take additional questions. So if you want to submit them, please fill them out and give them to Allison.
Why don't you submit another card and we'll respond to it.
Yeah. And I'm going to start going through some of the interested party questions. So far we've been sort of concentrating on the designated party questions to make sure that everybody who is a designated party got their questions answered up front. So this next one is, the regional board has authority over drinking water. Now our upper aquifer is over state standards for nitrates. Why don't the cease and desist orders focus on reducing nitrate load in the basin? If there's any confusion, that is exactly what the cease and desist orders focus on. It's removing a significant portion of the waste, which is the source of nitrate load to the basin. All Are you aware of the nitrate study by B&V, and I'm assuming this means Black & Veatch, beneath the Bay Ridge Estates leach field and two others on 13th and 14th Streets? And yes, I am aware of that study. I participated in the work group reviewing that. It's rather loosely referred to as the nitrate study. It was done in around 1994-95, and the initial goal of the study was to evaluate the reduction of nitrate below leach fields. So the answer is yes, I'm familiar with it, and it is also available in our files if anyone would like to review it.
Okay, are you prepared?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a question on CEQA, environmental impacts, truck and air quality impacts, and disposal sites. CEQA not considered but may be required for such a massive undertaking. As it says in the cease and desist orders, there are two exemptions from CEQA that apply here. One is for enforcement actions taken for environmental protection, and the other one is for existing facilities.
I have a question, another question from another interested party. It's similar to others. It says, all literature about septic tank management indicates that frequent pumping destroys the bacteria and will retard digestion. It is contraindicated. I believe that meant to say contradicted. It says it is contraindicated to do it every 2 months. Why can't we pump now and then every year or two? Okay. As I said before, the primary function of the septic tank is to settle out the solids. The anaerobic decomposition is very slow compared to the required frequency of pumping, almost negligible. And so we believe that frequent pumping will maximize the function of your septic tank. Yeah.
Okay, this is a bit of clarification of one of the earlier questions. The current CSD board is working hard to achieve water quality standards acceptable to the Water Board. They were duly elected and are making progress. Why not give them at least 2 years? Well, I think the bottom line is the water quality degradation is continuing. It's continuing because the discharges of wastes are continuing. So I'm glad to hear that the CSD is making some progress. In the interim, some water quality protection needs to occur, and that's what this action's about.
This question says, what do you know about bacterial overflow from septic tanks that have been, I think it says, pumped every 2 months? Bacteria flow into septic tanks is usually about 1 times 10 to the 8th, which is, I think, about 100 million bacteria per 100 milliliters of water. That's just a general number. Removal of bacteria through a septic tank, there is very little removal. Sometimes you can get a small reduction, maybe even a log order reduction, so it's coming out at 1 times 10 to the 7th. But typically we don't look at septic systems to be having any bacterial removal. So the level of bacteria that is leaving a septic tank is very similar to the level that is coming in. And there's a large body of data that can support that. The second part of this question said, is the nitrate profile changed and how? Nitrogen entering your septic system is in the form of ammonia and ammonium. There is no nitrate in your wastewater when it enters into a septic system. when it leaves the septic system, it typically leaves as ammonia and ammonium. But when it enters the soil profile where there is oxygen, typically septic tanks are oxygen deficient. When you get into an area where there is oxygen, the ammonia and ammonium will convert to nitrate. So in terms of changing the nitrate profile through a septic tank, there will be no change in the nitrate profile because it's moving through as ammonia and ammonium.
This question says, why are 8 new homes, 3 bath, going up 2 blocks from my home, yet I have to reduce my nitrates by 22%? I'd be interested in finding out what project that is. If you have that information and want to provide it, I will look into it.
Okay, this question is for me. It says, where did you come up with the 100-gallon discharge per day number? As I said before, we would have preferred our calculations of pollutant loading reduction to be based on actual data, but it wasn't provided to us. So our calculations are based on assumptions of typical wastewater generation. I believe that 100 gallon per day number is very conservative. I would suggest that a lot of you probably generate a lot less wastewater than that. And so, if you have a 1,000-gallon tank and you pump it out every 2 months, your pollutant loading reduction might be much greater than 22%. There are going to be households that generate more than 100 gallons per day, but they will also typically have larger septic tanks. And so, they will see an equivalent pollutant loading reduction. Doug, right? We have Doug from North County Septic Service here who seems to have an answer to this question. Maybe you can help.
Yes, sir. My name is Doug. North County Septic. We've got Molly Grad. 3, 5, 5. When we do a calculation for the size of the septic field, it's based on the number of rooms in the home, and it's calculated as 125 gallons per day. So a 3-bedroom home. We'd be calculating 375 gallons per day, and that's how it would be based on. So 100 at all. So it's more than 300 and 400 gallons per day. May I comment on one other thing? I've heard a lot of questions about. So that's just to talk about the amount of water going through the system on a daily basis. A number of questions have been asked about the bacteria in the septic tank and the frequent pumping of it, how it will affect. Well, the tank itself won't be affected by it at all. And the promotion of a septic bacteria that you would physically add to the tank is highly recommended, even on a monthly basis if you don't pump it at all. The reason why we put the septic enzymes in there is to digest the waste and the paper going into the tank, and they work very well. If you're not using them, they should be added. And I would suggest that when you're pumping it as frequently as, say, every other month or 6 times per year, that the addition of a septic enzyme, they're facultative, they work in both anaerobic and aerobic systems, promotes the digestion of waste.
Doug, I appreciate the input, but we need to get through a lot more questions. Is compliance the final goal, and is compliance zero discharge from septic systems into the ground? Yes, compliance is the final goal, and ultimately zero discharge means compliance with the prohibition. The basin plan prohibition prohibits discharge to the on-site systems.
Do you have the location and number of pits versus leach fields? No, we don't. Also, on the issue of the number of bedrooms or the number of gallons per day or the volume of water usage, if people want to submit that information to us, you can submit it during with the March 1 submittal. The procedures and copies of evidence seem excessively complex and burdensome. We tried to make them as fair as possible, and part of having a fair hearing is to give everyone fair notice of what the procedures are going to be. That's why the hearing notice is long. It's a complex issue. There are a lot of people involved, and we're trying to make it as easy as possible for everyone.
This is a similar question to the one Lori just read, but it says, if there is only one person to one septic tank, then why pump so much? You know, again, we're dealing with averages. Some of the people who may have received a CDO have six people living in their house, and they're going to be pumping at the same frequency. Again, if that's an argument you'd like to make to the board, then I encourage you to do so.
The second part of a question that Lori had just read is, why not allow the CSD to institute a septic management program and manage the on-site systems? And it's not just a matter of allowing the CSD to institute a septic management program. Actually, we've required the CSD to do so. They did submit a draft plan about a year and a half ago, and hopefully they are pursuing that as rapidly as possible. The time frame for implementing the on-site management plan is considerably overdue.
I'll take a question, Cyril. But before I do, I want to clarify my last answer. You know, somebody that is responsible for reviewing and approving septic system designs, I assure you that when you design a septic system, you don't design it for the long-term average. You design it for the short-term worst-case scenario. And, you know, you guys know when you have family over for the holidays, you generate a lot more wastewater. But in the long term, you generate significantly less. And so although your septic system might be designed for 375 or 400 gallons per day, your actual wastewater generation is probably significantly less. And I think if you look at your water records, that would verify that. If you're generating 400 gallons per day of wastewater, then you're probably not complying with the Community Services District's water conservation plan. Okay, here's the next question. Is the cease and desist order against the property or the designated parties? The cease and desist order is for the designated parties. It's specific to the property. It says, if more than, and the next question is, if there's more than one designated party per property, do all parties have right to presentation and cross-examination at the hearing? And the answer to that question is yes. But in the interest of time, we ask that you, if you're going to have the same arguments, to consider a joint presentation.
You say you're taking this action to improve water quality. If the CSD recall had been unsuccessful, we wouldn't be here tonight. Why don't you use your influence to get the sewer built, which is the only way that the community can really solve the water quality problem? I think the short answer is really that this question has little to do with the cease and desist orders this evening. Probably most of you are aware, if I had influence to resolve this problem, I would have done so a long time ago.
That's all the questions I have.
I got a couple more. Here's one that says, has the county given any indication they would put a wastewater treatment plant in before 2010? And I'm not sure if you meant to say, has the CSD given that indication? But, yes?
No.
County. The county is not in the process now of planning to put in any type of system. So I would say no, they haven't given us any indication that they will. Another question that says, nitrate levels would have continued past March under the old sewer plan. Why not wait until the old sewer would have been ready? Why hit community now? Again, the intent of the CDOs is to affect an immediate decrease in the amount of pollutants being discharged to the aquifer. This process has gone on way too long already, and we can't stand by and let it continue.
I have one that says, why not allow everyone to install reverse osmosis drinking water systems in their homes until a wastewater system is in place? We don't regulate drinking water or the installation of reverse osmosis systems, so if you'd like to do that, you're free to do so. However, the installation of reverse osmosis would not affect your loading into the basin, which is what we're concerned about. Then it says thousands of dollars, Harvey said, unless you put it on your wastewater, in which case you could, but that'd be quite costly. Thousands of dollars are being wasted on this pumping, I think it says, which could be better spent elsewhere. We recognize that it is a cost to each homeowner. We don't take it lightly. We would prefer to see a global solution that addresses the entire community, and our agency has worked towards that solution for a long time.
Why are we even here tonight asking questions of the prosecution staff? Seem like a conflict and should stop. There's no conflict because the board's not here. The board's not here. We wanted to provide this opportunity to allow people to ask questions as early as we could in the process in order to help you to prepare your defense. And people have asked questions about the prosecution team's case. It was in the staff report, but you're learning a lot more about our case tonight. We're trying to make the process as open as possible. And if people don't want to ask questions, they don't have to.
I'll go next. Okay. All right, this question seems to be more a rhetorical statement rather than a sincere request for information, but it says, what scientific publications state that septic tank efficiency increases with frequent pumping? Name them. Well, septic tanks were never intended to be used essentially as holding tanks, as we were required you to do. I told you before, septic tank is to settle out solids, and secondary function is to break down those solids. The authority on these are two. The authority on wastewater engineering is Metcalf and Eddy's Wastewater Engineering, and it does not discuss using pumping out septic tanks every 2 months. It's unheard of. Another authority on septic system design is EPA's On-Site Wastewater Treatment Systems Manual, and I believe both of these documents are widely available.
Can I go? If an individual could propose a significant water conservation action, say 25 gallons per day of reduced use, could it be considered in compliance with your order? The order requires pumping the septic tank. It's not just a matter of removing water from the basin, it's the waste that's the problem. I'm hoping that there's not confusion about that. It's really the waste that's the source of pollution, not just the water. So washing the same amount of waste down the drain with less water doesn't really reduce the impact on the basin. So that's the lengthy way of saying no. Reducing, conserving 25 gallons per day would not be compliance with the order.
And excuse me, and I think this is the last question.
Got one more.
And this, you know, obviously we had anticipated more people being here when we scheduled it until 8:30. So unless any of you really object, if we finish these last two questions, we'd like to wrap this up. This question says, what effects to our health will occur due to the odor of pumping? I don't know.
And the last one here is, if we see increases in nitrate levels and saltwater intrusion due to the cease and desist orders, who will be responsible? We wouldn't be taking these actions if we had any reason to think that it will increase nitrate levels in groundwater or will cause additional seawater intrusion. So it's not going to do that.
We're dealing with water quality questions. I appreciate the humor. It's a good time in the evening to lighten it up, but
bring it up to everybody.
I think this is a question that we've heard earlier. It says, please know that the CSD is comprised of directors very committed to cleaning our community's water. Why take this costly step now? We're now working hard to meet water quality standards. The CDOs are causing undue harm to the people. We certainly hope that the CSD is taking steps to solve the problem. With the solutions that they've discussed with me, I don't think it's going to be soon, as in this year or next. So, again, we're taking these steps to immediately reduce pollutant loading to the aquifers now.
Yes, thank you all for attending. We understand you might have further questions. Here is our contact information. Please feel free to contact us directly at any time. Thanks again for your time.